I was particularly asked to focus on some of the aspects of the nutrition recommendations for CACFP and look a little bit at how those might affect the obesity crisis that we have amongst our children in the United States. Excuse me. So I'm going to skip this slide because Lynn already said we don't have any conflicts, but CACFP was released just about a year ago. It was the third report in a series on the food assistance programs, the feeding programs that are administered by the Food Nutrition Service of USDA. The other two were the WIC report and the school meals report. So by the time we got to this one, we had learned a lot about how to go about designing these recommendations. Excuse me. Must be the jet lag here. CACFP, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, provides meals and snacks to vulnerable individuals. In 2008, there were over 3 million infants and children that participated in this program, mostly through child care and family daycare programs. Thank you, Lynn. And over 100,000 disabled or older adults. I've heard it referred to as the one of the largest programs in the U.S. that no one has ever heard of. I have to admit, I was not very familiar with it until we got involved in this report. So most of these participants are from low-income households, and that's what makes them particularly vulnerable to poor nutritional status. CACFP typically provides either two meals and a snack or two snacks and a meal. So the two meals and a snack might look like adults in daycare receiving breakfast, a morning snack, and lunch. Or it might look like children in daycare receiving a morning snack, lunch, and an afternoon snack. And USDA reimburses the providers for these meals and snacks. In addition, there's an after-school program for at-risk children, and they might get snack and a dinner. So you can see it covers a number of types of eating occasions. And because of the broad range of age groups and the service that could include meals and snacks from any time of the day, the committee took a really broad view of how to make our recommendations. And we decided to subtitle our report, Dietary Guidance for All, which sounds pretty authoritative, I guess. I urge you to read the report if you're at all interested in CACFP, but the main recommendations are summarized in the report brief that's on the chairs today. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through the details of the recommendations. I do want to note that because there were these other two reports on feeding programs, the WIC and the school meals, we made a big effort to make sure our CACFP recommendations were consistent with those. So it was a multi-step process, of course, to come up with the recommendations, but very early on we had to decide on the age groupings that we would use because we developed meal patterns that were appropriate for each of these seven age groups. So there are two patterns for infants, younger and older infants. There are four patterns for children and adolescents. And then there's one for adults. For infants, we didn't make a lot of very detailed recommendations. Mostly we've tried to align our infant recommendations with those that were suggested for WIC. And as you may know, the WIC recommendations are now regulations. For example, one of the big changes in the WIC report is that children cannot get any supplemental foods until they're 6 months of age, only breast milk or formula, and the same is true for CICFP. And then starting at 6 months, there's a gradual introduction of baby meats and cereals and fruits and vegetables, and no fruit juice for the infants under 1 year of age. For all the other age groups, we basically used my pyramid as the pattern that we would follow for the CICFP recommendations. And the beauty of my pyramid, and I'm sure all of you are familiar with it, is that it controls calories and nutrient levels if you design diets, meals and diets that follow the My Pyramid recommendations. And of course, My Pyramid is a direct result of the dietary guidelines, so that makes it even more appropriate as a basis for food patterns. And then within these patterns, we used food specifications to limit foods that we know are too high in the diets of Americans, solid fats, trans fats, added sugars, and sodium. So it was sort of a two-pronged approach, the meal patterns following my pyramid, food specifications to limit undesirable components. But because of the types of providers for CICFP, we chose not to put any calorie or nutrient requirements into the recommendations. Those of you familiar with CICFP know that many of the providers are just families who are just preparing food for their family and incidentally, I guess, for the children that they're taking care of. So we were told by many people to not make this too hard, that the people who would be providing the food needed to have clear guidelines, but they weren't going to get out calculators and use food composition tables and software. So we stuck with my pyramid. We felt that that would control calories appropriately. So for example, a 1300 calorie pattern, which would be about right for a 2 to 4 year old, would across the day have 1.25 cups of fruit and 1.5 cups of vegetables, etc. This is directly from the My Pyramid pattern for 1300 calories. But of course, the recommendations are not for the whole day. So after we had set these calorie levels and determined these My Pyramid patterns, we had to somehow decide how much of all that food would go into breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. So here are the daily calorie levels that we used, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time telling you how we got those, but if you want to talk about it at some point, I'd be happy to. But they're basically based on the dietary reference intakes for energy for typically low active, at least older children and adults. So to allocate those calories to the meals, we looked at the survey results to figure out how people distribute calories across the day. It's kind of interesting. Small children, as you might expect, tend to have calories that are fairly evenly distributed. They have small stomachs, so they have to eat fairly often. And so you can see the snacks here, I guess I have a mouse that will work as a pointer, do I? Yes. So small children, you see, it's basically the 20, 26, 26, and 28% of calories across the meals and two snacks. Whereas for adults, the proportions consumed at the meals is higher and snacks are somewhat lower. So we applied these percentages to the My Pyramid food groups to come up with actual meal patterns. And I've just shown you an example here for grains of how it works. So for a small child, let's say a three-year-old, that had a 13 calorie per day requirement, the recommendation for My Pyramid would be 4.5 ounce equivalents of grains. And these might be distributed as 1 ounce equivalent each at the meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then another 1 ounce at each of the two snacks. So it really isn't rocket science, but it takes some thought and some research, really, to figure out how to distribute these food groups appropriately across the day. And the meal patterns then look like this. I've just shown you breakfast, but all the meal patterns are in the report brief. So, for example, our recommendation for a breakfast pattern was 1 serving of fruit or non-starchy vegetables, 1 serving of grains, 3 servings of meat per week or meat alternates, and 1 serving of milk per day. And notice the range of the serving size here. That's because the serving size, of course, would vary depending on the age. The smallest children would have the smallest serving sizes, and actually adolescents tend to have the largest of the serving sizes. Now, within those patterns, of course, it was important to limit the foods that are high in undesirable food components. So we have a whole table of food specifications that limits foods with solid fats and added sugars, and we strongly recommend nutrient-dense foods. And let me just talk a minute about each of these recommendations. So here are the types of specifications that would limit energy-dense foods. Only non-fat and low-fat milk for everyone over 2 years of age. Flavored non-fat milk is allowed only for 5-year-olds and older. No added sugars in fruits or juices, no deep-fried vegetables. Limit high-fat meats and limit grain desserts, actually, to just once a week. Now, those of you that are familiar with the current program know that this is a big change. And if you want more details on exactly what did and didn't change, that's also in the report brief. To increase nutrient-dense foods, we had several recommendations that would increase the variety and amounts of fruits and vegetables. So that's one of the big recommendations from our report, more fruits and vegetables for children and adults in daycare. And another major change is to try to increase the proportion of grains that are whole grains. And again, you can read more about that, how we recommended that in the brief. So, in summary, CACFP recommendations really try to address overconsumption. The committee was indeed concerned about little children who are overweight and obese. And we did that by setting these food group targets that were carefully aligned with recommendations for calorie intakes. We limited high-calorie energy-dense foods that were allowed in the patterns and greatly encouraged low-calorie nutrient-dense foods. We limited energy-dense, we encouraged nutrient-dense. Hopefully I said that right the first time. Thank you.